Our scripture reading this evening is found in Psalm 119. Now let's begin reading at verse 17. We'll read through verse 32. Our text is found in those first eight verses, 17 through 24. And I won't reread those. So Psalm 119, beginning at verse 17. Deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live and keep thy word. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all times. Thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from thy commandments. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word. I have declared my ways, and thou heardest me. Teach me thy statutes. Make me to understand the way of thy precepts. So shall I talk of thy wondrous works. My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according unto thy word. Remove from me the way of lying. Grant me thy law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth. Thy judgments have I laid before me. I have stuck unto thy testimonies. O Lord, put me not to shame. I will run the way of thy commandments when thou shalt enlarge my heart. That far we read in God's holy, inspired word. May God bless that word to our hearts. By way of introduction, I read just that first verse of that section, the third section. Deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live and keep thy word. Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, we have celebrated God's bountiful dealings with us this morning. God has dealt bountifully with us. And now the question is, how shall you and I respond to God's bountiful dealings? Will everything stay the same in our lives? Or will we seek to show forth our thankfulness? And prayer being the chief part of thankfulness, will we pray that God continue to deal bountifully with us? He has dealt bountifully with us. Will we in thankfulness pray for His continued bountiful dealing? Psalm 119 is the prayer And that's how we ought to see it. One long prayer of a thankful pilgrim. And it's his prayer as he deals with all of the experiences of life. But he shows his thankfulness in his prayer. And you find that this would be a good exercise to read through the whole of the psalm and find out all the expressions of his thankfulness. Just a few examples. He shows his thankfulness in the first section when he says in verse 5, "Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes." Why does he want to keep God's statutes? Out of thankfulness. Or verse 10, in the second section, "With my whole heart have I sought thee, oh, let me not wander from thy commandments." Why does he say that? Because he is thankful to God for all that he has done. Thankful to God for his bountiful dealings with him. And that's what he shows again then in the prayer, how he begins this section. He shows his thankfulness by praying, "Deal bountifully with thy servants, that I may live." Why does he want to live? Does he want to live so that he can see the world? Does he want to live so that he can take expensive vacations? Does he want to live so that he can amass riches for himself or see his grandchildren, which in itself is a lovely thing? Why does he want to live? To express his thankfulness. "That I may live and keep thy word." He wants to express his thankfulness. That's the way his thankful spiritual life is manifested. And when he prays that, when you and I pray that, God answers that prayer. So I want to consider this section under the theme, a prayer that God deal bountifully. Let's note in the first place the humble prayer, and we could also add the thankful prayer, the humble and thankful prayer. Secondly, the manifested life. And then lastly, the assured answer. A prayer that God deal bountifully. The example of the psalmist, beloved, shows us that our thankful prayers to God arise out of a sense of our neediness. The psalmist understands his neediness. He understands he is dependent upon God. There are certainly other reasons to pray, but one reason is we understand our dependence. We understand how needy we are. And the psalmist understands that only God can meet that deepest need that he has. How does he know that? How does he know that only God can meet his need? Because God has already met his need. God is already meeting his need. God is already dealing bountifully with him. And he knows that past care of God for him. So he prays that God continue to meet that need. Deal bountifully with thy servant. Confer thy benefits unto thy servant. He sees himself as a suppliant, someone who is needy, who reaches out to someone who can supply those needs, who has the power to grant that request. That's why he prays. He sees his need, and he is thankful for the supplies that God has already given to him. If God had not supplied at all in the past, he wouldn't be looking to God to continue to deal bountifully with him. That's what drives his humble request. When he makes this request, he says, "Deal bountifully with thy servant." And now this would be another exercise to go through the psalm, find out, I'm going to tell you how many times the psalmist uses that title for himself, thy servant, 13 times throughout the whole psalm. There's no other title that he uses even more than once in the psalm. This is how he refers to himself. That's how he sees himself in the presence of God. Thy servant. Not a forced slave. Not an unwilling servant, but a thankful servant. A dependent servant of God. That's striking that he refers to himself that way. Why does he refer himself to himself as thy servant? Because he sees his relationship to God. He's not God's equal. He's certainly not above God, but he is the servant of God. He is God's friend servant, and God is his friend sovereign. And now in humility, he prays as the servant of God. Deal bountifully with me because I am thy servant. Deal bountifully with me because I belong to thee. Deal bountifully in order that I may serve thee. That's a prayer that comes from a humble heart, but also a thankful heart in the psalmist. He prays in the consciousness that he is the servant of God. Do you pray that way, beloved? Do I pray that way when we pray to God in the consciousness that we are servants of God? Thankful for all that he has done in the desire in all of our lives to serve him. We are God's servants, purchased with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. What a privilege that God has made us. What a privilege to be the servants of God, to belong to our faithful Savior in life and in death, to belong to Him body and soul. So he prays, deal bountifully with thy servant. Why does he pray that God deal bountifully? Why does he want God to deal bountifully? And the answer that he gives is that I may live. He wants to live. And now you understand there is a difference between simply being alive and living. Maybe the expression when somebody says, "This is living." There's a difference with simply being alive. Someone could be alive and be in a coma, and you might say, "That's not living." But now take that another step. The psalmist doesn't just want to be alive physically. He wants to live spiritually. That's what he's talking about. And now here's another thing, another exercise. Read through the psalm. Find out how many times throughout the psalm the psalmist prays that God would quicken him, that God would give him life. That's the idea. Quicken means give me life. Strengthen that spiritual life in me. Quicken me. I'm not going to give you the answer to that one. You'll have to read through the psalm. How many times he prays that God would quicken him or give him life. I'll give you three examples. Verse 37. He says, "Turn," and now notice how he connects this with spiritual life. "Turn away mine eyes from beholding vanity, and quicken thou me in thy way." Give me life in thy way. Or verse 40 in that section, "Behold, I have longed after thy precepts, quicken me in thy righteousness." He's talking about spiritual life. And one last example, verse 144. He says, "The righteousness of thy testimonies is everlasting. Give me understanding and I shall live." Give me understanding, give me spiritual understanding, and then I will live. He is praying to God that God would be, that God would deal bountifully with him in order that he might grow in his spiritual life, in the enjoyment of that spiritual life. Why does he want that spiritual life? He answers that in the very next phrase. "Deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live and keep thy word." There again, there's that spiritual aspect. "That I may live and keep thy word." He wasn't praying for life so that he could live for himself. He wants to keep God's Word. What is God's Word? God's Word is the revelation of Himself in Scripture. That Word of revelation that centers in Jesus Christ. The Word, when you read through the Psalm, he refers to that Word by which a young man is able to cleanse his way as he takes heed to that word. That word that the psalmist says is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. That word that strengthens us when our souls are in heaviness. That word that gives us hope. The word that centers, I say, in Jesus Christ. That's the word that he wants to keep. That word that points to our salvation in Jesus Christ. And now to keep that word means to have regard unto it, to observe that word, to guard that word. He wants to exercise great care over the whole of that word that speaks of our deliverance in Jesus Christ, but that also speaks of the way that we show our thankfulness. He wants to keep the word also in the sense of doing whatever God calls him to do as God's servant. That's what friend servants do. They want to serve. Does that reflect your life and my life, beloved, that all of our lives we want to serve our God? That's what the psalmist is expressing in this prayer. He wants to live and keep God's word. Well, the fact that we pray that God deal bountifully with us so that we live shows that God has already dealt bountifully and that He has already given to us spiritual life. And now that life is going to manifest itself. It manifested itself already in the prayer that He made, deal bountifully. He's looking to God by faith. That faith is a sign of that spiritual life. And then you find that throughout the rest of the psalm in this section. He wants God to strengthen him in his spiritual life, and that life will become evident. How is his life evident? How is the fact that the Spirit has regenerated him? How is it evident? Well, notice his prayer. In verse 18, he says, "Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law." He wants God to open his eyes, that he would behold wonderful things. And when he speaks of the law, he's not simply referring to the Ten Commandments. He's referring to all of the teaching of God's Word. And now do you see his desire to grow? When he says, "Open my eyes," when you have devotions this week, and when I have devotions, what a wonderful prayer to make before we begin to read in God's Word. "Open thou mine eyes, that I would behold wonderful things in thy Word. Teach me something about thyself. Teach me about my own neediness. Open my eyes." And when you and I have that desire, beloved, does that not show the life that we already have? We want our eyes to be opened more so that we will behold even more the wondrous things that are found in God's Word. How often have we read God's Word? Maybe read the account of God's creation. When He spoke the Word and creation came into being, and maybe we just gloss over it. We fail to behold the wonder that God has revealed in His Word. Or when we read Jesus' promise that He's going to come again, and we fail to see the wonder of that, that He's coming again for us, to take us to be with Himself, where others of our loved ones have gone before. How often have we failed to wonder at that revelation? We see or read the wisdom and we fail to see how great that wisdom is in God's Word. So the psalmist prays, "Open thou mine eyes," his spiritual eyes, "that he would behold wondrous things." And what is the central wonder in all of Scripture? The revelation of Jesus Christ and the gracious salvation that he brings to us. "Open thou mine eyes that I may see." The revelation of Jesus Christ in all of Scripture. What a good thing for us to pray when we have our personal devotions and our family devotions. That manifests life that God has already given to us. The fact that we want our eyes to be open more to see means God has given us to recognize there are wondrous things there in His Word. But that life is also manifested when the psalmist in verse 19 says, "I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me." Those commandments, those authoritative declarations regarding how God calls us to walk. Is that not a humble confession that the psalmist makes when he says, "Don't hide thy commandments from me. Let me understand those commandments"? He's recognizing that he fails in that regard. There's a humble confession of our sinful natures, because he recognizes that his own intelligence and wisdom is not enough to fathom the will of God as it applies to every area of our lives. So he wants God to open his understanding. "Hide not thy commandments from me." So often we fail to see the wisdom of God's ways. Our old man imagines that this world is our home. Our old man feels completely at home here and wants to stay here. And we forget we are strangers. There's the connection. The psalmist confesses, "I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me." And there's that desire again to grow spiritually. He sees that corruption that yet clings to him. He sees that his old man doesn't see himself as a stranger. And so he prays that God would cause him to grow in understanding. "Hide not thy commandments from me." That's evidence of the life that God had given to him, that God had already dealt bountifully with him. And then there's one more evidence, and that is the fact that God gave him spiritual life will manifest itself also in his willingness to endure persecution. He speaks of that persecution in verse 22 when he says, "Remove from me reproach and contempt, For I have kept thy testimonies. There's reproach in the world, a strong disapproval that the world has towards God's people. And there is contempt in the world towards God's people. They see us as bigoted and hateful. They speak about believers as worse than useless in the world. There's reproach and contempt. But despite that reproach and contempt, he wants that to be removed. He doesn't enjoy that. But notice his willingness to keep God's testimonies. Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies. That's why he is reproached. That's why there is contempt, because he is determined to do what God has called him to do, even if it should bring persecution. I say that manifests the life that God has worked in the psalmist. He goes on to speak of that persecution also in verse 23. Princes, chief men, we could translate that. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. There are difficult circumstances sometimes that you and I face, beloved, that we know that if we do what God calls us to do, it might mean that we are reproached and that contempt comes upon us. The psalmist is determined to do God's will, even if that should happen. That's a manifestation of the life that God has given to us. All of that, the psalmist prays, deal bountifully with thy servant that he may live and keep thy word. And all the prayers that flow out of that, beloved, those are the kinds of prayers that God answers. When you and I pray such a prayer from the heart, we can be sure God will answer that prayer, not giving us the perfection of it yet in this life, but He will answer that prayer. And how can we be so sure? God Himself has shown us that He is a God who hears and answers the prayers of His people. Not because we have earned it with God, not because we have kept His laws perfectly, and indeed, we have fallen far short. But He answers those prayers for Christ's sake. The psalmist prayed that God would deal bountifully with him because he knew that God would continue to deal bountifully with him. And indeed, the beautiful thing is that even as the psalmist was making this prayer, even as he was praying this from the heart to God, God was already dealing bountifully with him. God had already begun to answer the prayer that he was uttering. Isaiah 65 has a wonderful verse that speaks to that. Isaiah 65, verse 24. It shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they are speaking, I will hear. That's the way God works. When He has worked in our hearts so that we would pray that prayer, deal bountifully with Thy servant, already God has begun to deal bountifully with us. He causes us to see our great need. He works in us a knowledge that He is the only deliverer. He alone can answer that request. And He gives us thankful hearts. He begins the work and He carries on His work of salvation. So how can you and I know that He will deal bountifully with us when we pray? Again, we can look at the example of the psalmist. You can see the evidence in this very section of the psalm. As he was praying, yes, the content of that first petition is evidence that God was already dealing bountifully with him. But you can see it in the rest of the section, that God is dealing bountifully with him. Notice verse 20. He's prayed, deal bountifully with me. And then he says, verse 20, my soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all times. Why does he long for God's judgments? Why does, and those judgments, he's speaking of the judgments of God that teach him right from wrong. Why does he want and long after those judgments? He wants to know right from wrong, so that he can walk in God's ways. God is dealing bountifully with him already to give him that desire, that longing in his heart. How did he get that longing? God was gracious to him. And then we have another example at the end of the psalm, verse 20, or end of this section. Verse 24, he says, thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. Why does he have that delight? Because God already was dealing bountifully with him. As he was uttering this prayer, already God was beginning to answer his prayer and giving to him a delight in God's testimonies. He saw the Word of God as his counselors. He wanted to listen to those counselors, as it were, found in the Word. God has dealt mercifully with us, beloved. And as we see His bountiful dealings with us in the past, will you and will I pray that God will continue to deal bountifully with us? When we pray that way, He will. He will deal bountifully for Christ's sake.